Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is a Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and we are here to do some Force Center reacting, right, Ken?
We are. This is the special edition of the show that we've done since, well, quite frankly, the beginning of Force Center. We have these main shows, and you number them, and you track your numbers on a chart and hope you get it all right. And this is the 16th time that we've done a Force Center Reacts, and what that means is when there's some kind of news that drops that we can get to and don't want to wait to a news and cues show or push it, we want to react and dive in right here, right now. The last time we did it was a little Kenobi sizzler. Not the old restaurant where you can get a steak, but the sizzle. This time it is the Obi-Wan Kenobi teaser poster and release date. This dropped literally moments after Joseph and I were recording our Book of Boba Fett Chapter 7 discussion. And hey, the news continues, Joseph. We are diving into Kenobi.
Yes, and I am thrilled. I love talking all things Kenobi, and I love this new term you've coined of a Kenobi sizzler. And I'm going to think of that every time I watch the scene in A New Hope where he chops away at Ponda Baba and Dr. Evers. And I'm going to say that is a Kenobi sizzler right there.
Yeah. Ouch.
Ouch. Hot. We are going to get into this poster and the premiere date of May 25th. We're going to talk about the poster first. Ken, I have it up here on my computer as we are recording. It is a thing of beauty, in my opinion, but I'm going to describe it. We see at the top of the poster a cloudy, perhaps slightly tortured sky with setting or rising suns of Tatooine in the background. There is large rippling dunes and seas of sand. It looks like things are a-blowing. And then striding across these moving sands, robes billowing, is Jedi in exile, Obi-Wan Kenobi, with what appears to be a lightsaber in his hand. There have been many zoom-ins already. And at the bottom, under this striking image, is the text, Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi, with the eye of Kenobi in the shape of Kenobi's lightsaber hilt. Then the release date at the bottom, original series, May 25th, only on Disney Plus. Ken, do you feel this is an accurate representation of the poster, or have I wandered astray?
No, you've done a great job. And as you're talking, I have it on the desktop there, but I brought it up on Instagram, the Star Wars, so I can do a zoom in. I really haven't had done a zoom in yet. Oh, there it is. Yep, that's definitely a lightsaber. Oh, you're right. You're on it. Yeah.
But is it Anakin's is the question that has been echoing. I think people are just so desperate for information, for clues, right? Like whose shoes might he be wearing? You know, that kind of thing. But I think it's an interesting question about the lightsaber in his hand. And we'll get to that. But I want to start with the big picture. Ken, for you, do you like this poster? Is it effective? And if so, why?
I want this one on my wall, my refrigerator, in the garage. I'll get it tattooed. I don't even have tattoos. I really love it. I really love it. It makes me think of that famous Phantom Menace teaser poster. In the way that it's just, it's simple, it's direct, it's a character, it's a setting, and we're going to fill in the rest. And I mean that in the best way, right? It just brings up emotions. It's a little piece of Star Wars promotional art.
Yeah, I think I was really struck by it and really enjoy it in some ways because it is this great mix of the new and old within Star Wars, but in specific, the new and old of this idea. I think fans have been fascinated with the idea of what is Kenobi's life like when he is just he's still a Jedi, but he's still a hermit in the desert of Tatooine. And we've seen so many of these images from comic books to the cover of the now Legends Kenobi novel to comic books, right? We've seen lots of versions of this. There are action figures. You have that huge, Sideshow collectible, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Basically trying to capture the spirit of what's it like when he's kind of half Jedi, half hermit, right? Mm. So there's a world to me where this poster is like, that's so cool, but we've been here before. Mm. This one feels fresh. It feels different. I think I can get into more opinions about this when we talk about the emotional story, but there's movement and tension in this. So it's got that great old idea that we've talked about forever of what is Kenobi's life like in the desert, but there's something new and fresh about this actual image.
Yeah, you said that key word movement there. I'll talk about one of my big complaints to the poster a little bit later on, and it's a positive complaint. But this is for a series that we, meaning you, me, Joseph, even Jennifer back in the day, joking about an old man in the desert series or movie. This is full of, if that old man is in the desert, he's moving and grooving through this part of his life, and I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And I posted a joke on Twitter, and it's a joke, but it is also a little bit true for me of, like, I really do imagine, like, Vader seeing this. Like, knowing Vader's going to be a part of the show, this, you know, confirmed, announced, Hayden Christensen is cast, this isn't going to be Obi-Wan just deals with some pirates who steal water, you know? Yeah. This is, Vader's shadow is in this poster. I just imagine Vader looking at this and like, oh, Kenobi's coming for me, and look at those sands blowing. I can feel Vader's frustration looking at this poster.
It's everything I hate.
Yes, my two greatest adversaries, Kenobi and Sand. But, and I, you know, we joke about the Sand line, but that is a part of the whole Tatooine story to me of, you know, not only is Luke with family, Luke is at the site of a trauma for Vader, a place that Vader would prefer not to go, right?
Absolutely.
So what emotional story, I indicated a little bit of what I was thinking with the movement, but what emotional story do you feel is being told in this very simple poster?
This idea, again, going with this movement and everything, this is a man still searching, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about the when I saw this pop up yesterday, and you and I, it was funny, you and I were actually still on this Zencastr, and I saw the email come across from Disney Press, and I was like, oh. So we both had an actual real reaction as we opened our emails over. And it's just, you just go from there, and it's like, and he's in the distance, put a pin in that one there, but he's in the distance. He's moving towards us. He's not sitting around. He's still just like, I keep going back to this idea that, that he is searching. And this is just a teaser poster. I know I'm having a lot of fun digging into this, but that's the key. This inspired a lot of fun for a series that I've been waiting for so long, but also, you know, don't know exactly what they're going to do. All these wild cast rumors and cast confirmations meeting up with this idea. I've always thought of Kenobi at a campfire is something I've always just wanted to see for a while. We got a little bit of Rebels, but so it's even moving me from past that idea I had of maybe he just sits and contemplates. He's going into action here in a lot of ways. He still searches for answers.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying about searching for answers. And I think that sometimes a fun thing in the fandom is to like really zoom in and see if there's, you know, an actual plot clue in the fold of a cape, right? Or is that, hey, that shadowy, you know, thing in the background, is that Boba Fett's ship? That's a thing we've done a lot with posters, with trailers. And I think there's kind of like a fun silliness of like, yeah, the poster's maybe not going to have a ton of hints about the plot, but the entire intent of artwork is to tell a visual story and make you feel something. So I don't feel like I'm going super off the deep end by being really fascinated by the emotional story that I feel like this poster is telling. And for me, I feel like this poster, you know, could be called Star Wars, : Obi-Wan Kenobi, : unfinished business.
Like, yeah.
That's what the movement is about to me, and it's everywhere, right? It's a sunset or a sunrise, but there's darkness in the clouds. There's a little bit of turmoil. The sand, you know, recedes into a darkness, so it has that sense of right in the middle is this burst of light, but kind of either side is, you know, being sandwiched in by the ominous. But we've seen so many images of Tatooine, and I don't know that I've ever seen an image like this that's like kind of mid low level sandstorm where you like you look at it and you can feel like if you've ever like been on a beach or in a desert when it's moving like that, you can feel it, the kernels moving and biting at your ankles, right? There's a sense of like agitation to that sand. And then everything that's going on with his figure that he's literally on the move, right? Kenobi's saying about Anakin always on the move. Now here he is on the poster, mid stride, looking off. You know, not like staring down the camera like it's a Vanity Fair pose, like a lot of promotional posters of characters can be. He's thinking about something. He's reacting to something. The fact that the way his robes are billowing are like it's both cool, but also like. He just crashed a speeder, right? There's something like unsettled about even the robes being half off. And then, you know, whether we want to analyze whose saber is it and what does that mean? The fact that he has what appears to be an unignited saber in his hand also has this feeling of something is about to happen. And final thing for me, the fact that he is in the distance, but he's not stationary, right? He is moving toward the viewer, has this great sort of like, I am heading toward something. I am heading toward this unfinished business I need to deal with.
Yeah, no, this is a great just look at how this all adds up to that emotion and feeling, the reaction that you and I both have and many are having to this. I love you highlighting the wind blowing across the sand. We need Jira to tell Obi-Wan a storm's coming here. And that's kind of way I feel, too. It's a beautiful shot, right? Yeah, Tatooine, I don't know how many times you get to stop and say Tatooine's pretty. You know, it's not known for that. It's known for dusty, dirty, lived in, place of crime. Now, hopefully that cycle's been broken. Thank you, Boba Fett. All that stuff. But yeah, this is it's the beauty and the story that's moving at us here too. Yeah. Anyways, I'm someone who grew up on the beach and had a lot of sand blown in your face. This also brings some of those feelings too. It's not always fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then zooming in, it is great to see that he's got a little bit of that sort of Jedi robe, but then like, yeah, just kind of a shirt.
Just went to H&M, got himself desert wear.
He looks like he's got a fun space fanny pack, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? I have zoomed super in, and it's very bitmappy. It's suddenly like very early internet Obi-Wan Kenobi that I'm looking at here. I expect him to be a dancing GIF at this point. Very early dancing GIF. What do you feel about the lightsaber? Are you intrigued by trying to zoom in and see whose is it? Are you looking for a clue? What are your lightsaber thoughts?
My lightsaber thoughts are, if I was to straight up predict, I do still think it's his, and that Anakin's is always going to be locked away safely until the time. But also, you know, again, don't know. That's why we have fun speculating around these parts. But again, the fact that it's out, there's a danger to that. What is part of his mission? What isn't part of his mission? What is begging for him to get involved in? And what does he not want to get involved in? But kind of maybe feels he should. Are there pirates? Is there water being stolen? Is there an inquisitor on the ground? Like, I love that idea. Like you said, he's looking off and has that weapon that is so key to his life there with him. And he's got to decide how best to go forward, how best to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I think for me, like on the poster, it's just fun fan speculation of could that be Anakin's lightsaber? Does that mean anything? You know, I think this is a promotional poster telling an emotional story. I don't think this is a scene from the show. But if you do imagine it as Anakin, it evokes things of like, is this, you know, is this him walking to the Lars homestead, trying one more time to see if Owen will let him give the saber to Luke? I think probably not. I think where my mind goes about the idea of Obi-Wan walking around with Anakin's lightsaber is if he is making his choice to say, I didn't save Anakin or stop Vader, I should have done one or the other, because this kind of half finished job is hurting the galaxy. And it is intriguing to me that if he makes a very conscious choice to track down Vader, that he would bring that saber with and say, you know, take this back, take back, you know, what it symbolizes, you know, become who you're supposed to be again.
Oh, I love that. Put aside the Sith Ranger and become who you're born to be. Love that idea.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think this is a specific scene either, but it's fun to kind of hear Owen yelling at him from a distance. You stay away.
Get off my giant desert lawn. I think that's what's being yelled just off the other side of this poster. is there anything that you question, dislike, are tortured by in this poster?
Tortured by. He's too small for me. In terms of poster design, it's wonderful. It's what you need it to be. I don't want it to be anything else. But as a Star Wars fan and as an Obi-Wan fan and as a Ewan McGregor fan, I don't want to have to keep zooming in. Just show me his beautiful face with that beard. I get why. Again, I'm behind the style, the look of the poster. It's great. This is one of the ones that will look great on your wall. But that's the only thing. I saw it and I was like, oh, hopefully get, oh no, that's all I see of his face. I kind of see Obi-Wan's face, and I've just been waiting for so long. I'll wait a little longer, but I'm waiting for so long to just see Ewan, not red carpet Ewan with a beard, but like to see him as Kenobi. I'll just have to wait a little longer.
Yeah, no, I understand that frustration, and I feel like that is the one of the points.
Yeah, right.
No, frustrate people on purpose of like, oh, God, just make him bigger.
Truly a tease. Truly a teaser poster.
Truly a tease. Like, how would you feel? I don't think it's going to be it, but how would you feel if the next poster is this? He's still walking toward us, but he's just a little closer.
I actually would love it in terms of just like, oh, they're committing to the bit here. I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I continue to be fascinated as you and I get to have a ton of fun discussing Star Wars past and Star Wars present. And there's those discussions that are really powerful in the moment. But then they can kind of become lost to time as, you know, fans find bits of Star Wars that they weren't alive when it first came out or weren't paying attention to Star Wars when it first came out, right? You know, like sometimes I can have the life experience of encountering a Star Wars fan that didn't know there's a sliver of generation that used to be very mad about Ewoks, and that's just like news to people, right? And I feel like we're in one of those moments where the debate that's happening in the present is very understandable, but I think will fade and be forgotten with time. And that's specifically the too much Tatooine discourse, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think for me, it's totally understandable that, you know, Book of Boba Fett just came out. Everybody knew that was happening on Tatooine, but I think there was people's minds were open of, is the whole show going to be on Tatooine or is Boba Fett, we even talked about it, is Boba Fett going to be jutting off to Nal Hutta and all these other crime locations across the galaxy? And it turned out, no, we're a lot on Tatooine. And now I think it's just the way that it worked best for Disney Plus to line up these shows. Kenobi is at least starting on Tatooine. And I think ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, it's not, you know, a thing that is a big deal. But you have to acknowledge that that is a big part of the conversation right now, that, you know, on social media, people are like, this poster's great. Can't wait to see you and McGregor. Ugh, Tatooine.
yeah. Meh, Tatooine. Yeah, great jokes. Well-crafted, well-said out there, all of you. Yeah, and I think you're right, too. You're going to look back and be like, well, what? There was really only two shows. Yes, Mando stops by there. There's really only two shows. Acolyte's not there. Andor's not there. Ahsoka's there. Or again, those shows touch it. I don't know, but I think you're right. Over the when the sands of Tatooine time pass over, the conversation will seem rather silly.
Yeah. But I think a part of it does matter because we're in the present. It's marketing. It's trying to get people excited. And if it's a distraction, that is something that I think about. So a question I specifically wanted to ask you is, we did a big breakdown of the sizzle reel that they put out. And the sizzle reel has a lot of concept art that, to me, makes it quite clear that Kenobi starts on Tatooine and then goes lots of other places. Mm-hmm. Do you want, you know, some of the marketing, be it the inevitable trailer or another poster, to make that more clear, to kind of get past some of this? Is the whole thing going to be Tatooine again conversation?
They potentially need it because you're not wrong there, right? I mean, it's definitely of the time and it's a pretty powerful talking point for a lot of people right now. And I hope that doesn't keep anyone away from this character of Kenobi, even if he was on Tatooine the entire time. But even this poster is him walking away from the twin sons, moving forward, movement, maybe getting out of there. I'm intrigued just as a fan to see how that will work because I always thought Kenobi in my head just stayed on the desert, but now maybe not. That's not the case. So maybe they do, as they also want to introduce, you know, the cast and get some promotional material of them out. We will start to see where we might be going. And that's exciting, too.
Yeah, I think I'm always on the fence of like, I would love to see as little as possible because I just want this story to be the story. But I'm also realistic about the world that we live in, that you need to do, really great marketing to get people excited and to bring people to the table. And if some of that marketing is something that makes it clear that we're going to venture off Tatooine, I think it would be great to help us move past this understandable, but, you know, kind of temporary conversation about too much Tatooine.
Yeah.
We should Photoshop in like a space bus and it makes it clear that Obi-Wan is walking towards a space bus to get off of Tatooine in this very poster.
Just have those droids that made Mando check all his weapons. The Rex droid there. Just going to need that lightsaber. Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't give this up.
That's why he's got that lightsaber out. He's checking his baggage in more ways than one. Well, with that, we are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to discuss the actual release date that has been revealed along with this awesome poster. Back in a moment.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time.
For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to Force Center Reacts. I'm Ken Napsok along with Joseph Scrimshaw, and we are talking about the Kenobi teaser poster that was released, but also at the bottom of the poster, Joseph, there's some important information of when we're going to get the show. Let's continue the discussion here of the Kenobi poster and release date.
Yeah, so the release date is May 25th. Some of us, myself included, had been speculating May 4th, but this is still in that general strike zone that matches when a lot of the Kenobi books, Kenobi comic books have been announced. So May is just going to be all Kenobi all the time. But the date is actually, of course, quite significant because May 25th of 2022 is the 45th anniversary of the release of the original film Star Wars. It is also the release dates of Return of the Jedi and Solo: A Star Wars Story. How do you feel about that, just significance of that date?
I love that being the date. May 4th would have been great as well, but now I think you're going to have that Christopher Cantwell written Kenobi series out to kind of really get us all excited, get us all focusing on aspects of Kenobi and Kenobi's life, and it leads wonderfully into this. And that date is, I'll say this, Joseph, and maybe back me up or push me off the ledge here. May 25th is more of an important Star Wars date to me than May 4th. And that only is because May 4th, Star Wars Day, was relatively new with the internet and everything. That was not something I spent too much time thinking about or celebrating. Also, because I don't like puns and wordplay. So May the 4th was not, did not start out well with me, to be honest. But May 25th, 1977 is the date, man. And this just kind of syncs up because that's Kenobi. And that's he's key to that movie.
Yeah, I have gone on a journey with May the 4th when it just did kind of start as like a Twitter joke based on the pun. And I remember even back in the day, I had some friends who were like very annoyed of like, but May 25th should be Star Wars Day. That's the release date. And they're so close together. And over time, you know, I think it went from just kind of a joke hashtag on social media to a big thing that Lucasfilm gets behind and, yeah. And you know, things are released and people truly celebrate and take it as a day to really celebrate Star Wars. And I have totally come around to it of like, mm-hmm. Hey, silliness is a part of Star Wars. So I'm not going to waste my time being grumpy that a celebration of something I loved is based on a pun.
Yeah.
Many things I love have some shaky foundations. But I still have friends today who jokingly describe May 25th as Orthodox Star Wars Day, because it is they're traditional. It is what it, you know.
I'm with you. And to be clear, like May 4th now, it's not only doesn't bother me, it's something I enjoy. Yeah, you come around on some stuff there too. You're like, well, we're working hard to celebrate Star Wars. I'll get behind that. But yeah, May 25th, great date.
Yeah, but for me, I think it's really cool to have something that puts a little bit more focus on that, you know, actual real world anniversary. I think it is kind of significant to what Star Wars became, because it, well, you know, along with Jaws, was one of the first like summer blockbusters, right? And for me, there is that sort of summer blockbuster schedule has, you know, been decimated partially by, you know, Force Awakens success in December.
Yeah.
But to me, I think maybe it's a bit of nostalgia for my own childhood when summer was when exciting things happened. Mm-hmm. that has a sort of spirit, that time when you're in spring, where you're about to launch into summer, has this sort of spirit of let's go on an adventure. I like it when Star Wars things are released that day. It didn't end up working out well for Solo on a financial level. Yeah. But I liked it on sort of like an emotional level, because Solo is such a like, it got big serious themes, but such a sense of like fun and adventure. It's such a fun summer movie that if I saw that when I was a kid, I would just be like, great, now I want to ride my bike and pretend it's a Falcon, you know, that energy to it. And then the fact that this show, Obi-Wan Kenobi, is it has such roots in the very first film. So it feels so right of like, yeah, when you see, you know, Alec Guinness living in that hut and being like, finally, finally time to train Luke and get off this rock, in inviting for 45 years, imagining this series. It feels so right.
Yeah, no, I feel as though we're going to get to not answers, but some new context of some of the stuff Kenobi was saying in New Hope, and or just have a little more weight to it. And we already have a lot of weight to it, I think, because of the Kenobi content we continue to get in prequels and Clone Wars. So I think it all works out pretty well for that date. No disrespect to May 4th, but we'll probably get a good comic book run around that time. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, and that it might also be to kind of clear the decks, because maybe something else will be announced or some larger thing on May the 4th.
Yeah, and look, and there's a lot of talk too around, you know, when Moon Knight ends, and that's been part of the business side of the discussion, which you need to have, because it is a business that they're doing right there. So, you know, and the big wonder, will Marvel and Disney have shows run at the same time? Will Star Wars have shows run at the same time? Like, even our good friend Brian Ward tweeted out, could you fit Bad Batch between we got enough time, right? Bad Batch. And I love those kind of conversations. The business side of it is interesting to me, but not where I stop. For sure.
It is, you know, unknown country. It is unexplored frontier of how to schedule these streaming shows, particularly the big IP of Star Wars and Marvel, both so they don't take focus from themselves, and so they don't take focus from one another. And so far they have done the dance of like, oops, whoops, Hawkeye and Boba Fett were going to overlap, so we'll just pull Hawkeye up a little bit and leave Boba his room. That is a fascinating part of the dance.
Yeah, and it's significant to be sure. Like we mentioned Solo and a lot of the conversations around that, we know it's like it was so close to Avengers Endgame, and the stories we heard of, you know, you couldn't put Solo merch up at Target because by contract they needed the Marvel stuff to stick around. Like that's all, it's legitimate to wonder, you know, will they ever exist at the same time on schedules? And maybe one day they will, but I just don't know if we're there yet.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a fascinating dance to watch. But this date also has a little bit of significance for Star Wars fans, because it is the day before the multi-day convention Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim. How do you feel about that? And what do you think that means for the programming at the actual Star Wars Celebration?
Well, before we even get to that, you are going to see a large amount of Star Wars pundits and content creators trying to find ways to film in airports and hotel lobbies. And I'm just thrilled for that. Joseph and I will just say it. We're in a good fortunate position where we could probably watch, record, and get in our car and drive an hour south and still check into our hotels just fine. So I feel sorry for those. I even texted Alex and Molly yesterday, like, what are you going to do? You going to do it in the airport? How are you going to get that video out? It's kind of funny. But in terms of celebration of the programming, yeah, I like you, because the argument, the counter to it is, hey, you could do the first episode at Celebration. I think that would be, I'd be fine with that if that was it, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't fight that. But the fact that this is where they're going, that just means in theory we'll know. And then the panels, anything there, you can approach it in a little bit of a different way of, oh, we can't wait to what you see. We can already discuss what you've seen and talk about and give hints about what's coming. Obviously, they're not going to spoil things. I'm fine with that. I think it was a win-win situation.
Yeah, I do feel bad for people who are like, we live in Ohio and we're so excited for Star Wars Celebration. And now we're going to be recording on the plane. But obviously, those of us who are lucky to make it a part of our lives to talk about Star Wars, this show is reaching a lot of people who don't have podcasts and video streams about Star Wars.
Yeah, look, let's be clear. If it was 2019 and you and I were traveling to Chicago, I'd be probably a little grumpy. But they got content, but that's a small part of life.
A small part of life, indeed. Yeah, you're getting really me. I definitely thought a Kenobi panel is possible to really keep people excited. You know, it'd be, I think, a real fun dance of like, we can talk about some things that first episode is out and, you know, there's a ton of stuff we can't talk about. But the thing that actually really struck me is there's been such discussion of fans missing seeing things in theaters. And mm-hmm. we've gotten a lot of questions sent in about like, hey, would you ever want to just have a theater showing of the Clone Wars finale, or if they're going to play a couple episodes of Mandalorian, which ones would you want to see? The idea that it's already been out. So just like there's a panel where maybe people talk to us for 10 minutes, but then it's just watching this first episode with hundreds of other fans and feeling that live energy, excitement, screaming for Kenobi when he steps onto the screen, you know?
Yeah, almost you could have a live, director commentary of different chow up there going, and here's this scene, here's that scene, or just what you're saying, too, of just getting to rewatch it again, because clearly you're going to watch it a couple times anyways. Might as well do it with some friends.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an experience that I miss because we haven't had obviously there's been a little hiccup with the movie theaters and, you know, the deadly virus, but also just with a huge move to a lot of IP being on television. I do miss getting to see things in big groups and cheer for Kenobi. That's all I want, to cheer for Kenobi.
Yeah.
I also think that for panels, I think there'd be panels for all the Disney Plus shows anyway. I don't think that's surprising. I think there'll be a big hype about Andor and The Acolyte and Mando Season 3 and Ahsoka. But I wonder also if there might be a focus at Star Wars Celebration of announcing more Disney Plus shows or confirming a ton of details. Like Lando's one of the ones that's like, we said we're going to do this, but we don't know a lot. There isn't a lot confirmed. So maybe a big, hey, we're lifting the platter off of the top off of the Lando platter and showing you the dish that we're creating, or just like a what's coming kind of announcement. Because I think that the Obi-Wan Kenobi show is obviously going to draw in fans to Disney Plus, but I think that they know that it's going to draw in lots of people. And I think that they want to have the conversation of like, don't just subscribe for 2 months and back out, stay forever. Why would you ever cancel your subscription and briefly subscribe to HBO Max and then come back? Stay forever, because look at everything, you know?
You're making a great reference, intentional or not, to the Commodore 64 game Impossible Mission, where that's how it started, with stay forever, stay forever. Love that. You're absolutely right. And I want that. I want to, you know, here's Leslie Headland to talk about The Acolyte. Finally, she can say something. A little bit more Lando, indeed. You didn't even know this was coming, but we do have the story of Jack Porkins' youth. We got it. I want all of that there, too. And another fun thing, too. Reminded of, I think it was Game of Thrones Season 7, the way Comic-Con lined up that year, It was a weird spot because they had moved the release date of the show. It used to be during April, springtime, and it was a little bit later. It was during the first two episodes of season 7 had already been out. So the Comic-Con stuff, not even just the panels, but even the marketing material, was able to have fun with things we all knew from that season at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit of a different experience versus some of the, like, I used to, some of those Game of Thrones panels at Hall H, quite frankly, were boring because they couldn't say anything. I remember Natalie Dormer just going, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Why are you asking? Like, just, I can't say anything. And so season 7 had a little bit of, oh, we already got a couple little moments. We got Danny returning to Dragonstone. And you were, I just remember as a Game of Thrones time being having a lot of fun with that. And so maybe with Kenobi, if we get one episode in, you're going to be so excited. You get to celebration and you're going to go to a panel or maybe a display and be like, oh, that's that thing I saw in the episode already. And that's great. And so I think that's another thing I kind of like about the decision.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's got to be a very, very mindful choice that it's going to relate with the convention, because I do think that the convention is obviously it is for, you know, pretty intense fans. That's who's, you know, generally going to go to it. But I also think they're really trying to build it up that it's like what Comic-Con has become, which, you know, Comic-Con is many things. But one of the things it is a giant press conference, right? Mm-hmm. A multi-day press conference with cosplay. So I do think that the fact that Obi-Wan Kenobi, Darth Vader, Ewan McGregor, one of Disney Plus's great chances to hook more casual fans, I think they're going to use the convention mindfully as, you know, fun for the fans who are physically there, but also as a press release to the rest of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
So any other thoughts on the poster itself, the release date, any general thoughts about the Kenobi show that is slowly marching toward us across the desert?
It's that it's real and that it's here. We talked a lot in the news and cues last week, even with I put my jokey Milhouse inspired title, everything's coming up Kenobi, because we're there. And as Star Wars fans who, you know, all of us who are like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. Not just the Disney sale, but the Force Awakens. It's just like I've said before, but like, I didn't think any of this is happening. And to know that, after much rumors and a failed movie, and he walked the red carpet for a reason. Did you see his beard? Now it's not just that we know, it's happening. And that's a fun spot to be in as a Star Wars fan. I always say the best Star Wars is the Star Wars you've yet to see, because there's so many new things to learn and connect with and fall in love with all over again. And to get this poster, a beautiful poster, even if he's tiny and I don't see his beautiful beard up close, it's there, it's real. And here we go, season of Kenobi.
Yeah, we're going to see that beard. We're going to see all the sand in that beard. It's going to be great. Yeah, this has been such a journey from just wild speculation after the purchase, right? Of like one of the things they could do. Would they ever do this? Could they ever do this? And then all of the rumors and all of the beards on red carpet. I got to find that clip I love. I can't remember what award show it was, but Ewan McGregor won an award and he's doing that post interview and people are asking him about Kenobi, and he changes the subject to the mint that he shouldn't have put in his mouth before answering a question. Just like total expert evasion, going all the way to just his relief when it was announced, to be able to say, you know, ask me if I'm going to be playing Kenobi. Yes. You know, it's been such a journey. And for me on the sort of the list of like, all right, what are the things that have felt impossible in the world of pop culture that I would absolutely love to have happen? Yeah. I would love Twin Peaks to come back. I would love Axel / and Duff from Guns N' Roses to make up and go on tour. This was like on that list for me, that like just like, could the probably not, probably never. I should accept the loss. This is like up there for me of Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi again. I have a lot of hopes for the show. I know there's going to be a lot of passions are going to run high. Opinions are going to be strong. It's going to be a very active discussion. But I was trying to encapsulate, you know, I have high expectations and high hopes, but I was trying to capture why I'm excited about it at the most core. And Ken, I realized that I've already had this conversation back in like 2004, 2005, before Revenge of the Sith came out. And I had, you know, lots of friends who were up and down on the prequels, mostly down, But then the trailer came out and Kenobi, you know, is screaming, "You were the chosen one." They're like, "Oh, I think it's got me again, but it's not going to be good. Are you excited for Revenge of the Sith?" And I kept saying, like, "Here's what I know about Revenge of the Sith. Ewan McGregor is going to have to play an emotionally conflicted Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then he's also going to have cool lightsaber fights. And how could that possibly not be good?" If nothing else is good, amazing actor Ewan McGregor is going to be emotionally torn up Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he's going to have awesome lightsaber fights. So I feel just like I did all those years ago, that I'm excited to see Ewan McGregor take on this role, both the emotional depth and the damn cool lightsaber fighting. So I think it's going to work out for me.
I think it is. And like you always say here, it's old and new, and you go back to those feelings then, and you're going to learn a ton of new things about it now. That's a great way to approach Star Wars. And again, yeah, Ewan, the beard, the lightsaber. Let's do it.
A thing of beauty. A thing of beauty. So you want to let people know where they can find us?
Yeah, thank you for listening to this Force Center Reacts as we dive into the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, a teaser poster, and the release date. Not quite a full-on sizzler, which now I want to go and get some cheese toast. We are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube as well. You can like our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. You can get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center, including our Speculate Responsibly shirt, perfect to wear in these times. Also, if you'd like, you can get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. For the last 10 weeks or so, we've been working on a wonderful series exclusively for The Companion called Databank Dive. If you want to hear that, where Joseph and I dive into a specific fun little thing in Star Wars, head on over to The Companion and sign up to hear that. You can also support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can follow me if you like at Ken Napsuck, and my beard, it's not quite Kenobi, but it's definitely got a lot of sand in it. Or you can go to my website, kennapsuck.com. Joseph, where can they go for you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok as Joseph Scrimshaw, at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can check out my website that has pictures of when I had a beard. My website is josephscrimshaw.com.
There you go, everybody. So for the sands of Tatooine, moving and blowing and pushing and getting Kenobi out of his hut and onto a new adventure, this has been Force Reacts.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.